Blog Talk Radio.
Are so fired up tonight, one theme song just ain't gonna do it. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Today is Wednesday, September 15th. Eddie, everybody can breathe easy. At least for today.
Whoa. Even me, I'm breathing easy. Finally, it's done. It's in the books. It's a field view of epic proportions. I love it for both sides. I love it that we locked up Mark for 5 years. A joyous occasion. And they are rare in Rangerville right now, my friend Jim Schmiedeberg.
That they are, but you got to love the deal. I'll tell you, you know, we kept hearing that Mark Stahl was holding out for years and the Rangers were holding back on money. They came up with money they liked. They came up with years they liked. I love the years. 5 years, you got this guy locked up. He's your best defenseman. I love it. Love it. Let's go, Rangers. Let's get it on.
I'm ready. I'm down with you with that music. You got me all psyched for mediocrity. I'm ready. Bring the mediocrity on.
Nobody introduces 500 hockey better than we do. Come on. Oh, who knows? I'm ready. I'm ready.
I got to tell you, when you said that to who knows, I was gonna save it, but I've been watching these the propaganda films they're showing on MSG about the upcoming season, and I have, and I think I discussed this with you that like I'm hearing Tortorella speak for a change, you know, because he doesn't speak during the regular season. I was drinking the Kool-Aid hardcore last year, and I said, no, I'm anti-Kool-Aid this year. No players, no bah humbug, the whole bit. Now, I see Tortorella talking, and I'm like, wow, he's the kind of a gentler Tortorella. Perhaps he will, he has recognized some problems that we've been screaming on this show for weeks and months about, and perhaps there'll be some changes. But then I thought again.
Changes. Give you a little Bowie. I know you like it.
You have this obsession with thinking I love David Bowie, which I love.
I just know you like him. Hey, look, it's a little musical interlude. All right, so, you're not drinking a Kool-Aid, so we're going to meet in the middle with a little Hawaii, maybe a little Hawaiian Punch or a little Weiler's or some goofy grape, funny faces, or what?
Goofy grape is more like it, yeah. I just think I can't. I got to go. I have to be reserved.
Until they win the first two games of the season.
Well, you know, I'm going overboard. As soon as they get on a winning streak, you think, then it's going to be, I'm going to be out for lunch. Let's face it, that's the way I am. I'm an extreme anything. I'm extremely bitter or I'm extremely happy. It's going to be extremes. And I'm extremely happy at this stall deal. Come on, this is fantastic. Now, a lot of you peeps, and I call you peeps because I want to be, I want to be nice. When I said $4.54 million, I almost got laughed at in the building here, so to speak. And, he's not worth more than 3 or 3.5. Well, guess what? He got 3.9. He probably was asking about 4.5. So he's a stud. I love Mark Stahl. Wish he had a little bit longer fuse, but he's only 23. Maybe he'll get some gumption, some orneriness, if that's a word.
You want him to have a shorter fuse.
Yeah.
Not a
and
longer
you know
fuse.
What? Longer fuse, yes. Sorry.
No, short. You want him to have a shorter fuse.
Right. A shorter fuse. Man, short and long. I mean, what is this? First down, third down conversions? I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I think he's an integral part of the team. And you know what, folks? You know, you say what you want about Mark Stahl. He plays with a lot of bad players. He plays with the greatest goaltender, but he plays with a lot of – he ain't much help. And I think once the team does improve, maybe somewhere in the 2000s, he'll be even more recognized for his play right now. But right now, he's the only trustworthy guy, and he played great down the stretch. So I'm extremely glad. The terms are great for both clubs, like you said, and – 5 years. That's what I like, Jimmy. 5 years.
That's right.
I'll be 50 I'll be 50 years old. I can stretch.
Whew.
50 years old. So.
And still doing this show with me, I hope.
Oh yeah. And by that time, we'll.
He's between the two of us. We'll be pushing 100.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Well, you know, everyone in this chat room and ourselves included will be stars. We'll have our own reality show by then. And an unreality show.
Can you imagine putting this bunch of nuts in a house together?
The biggest loser. And I don't mean weight-wise.
All right. So let me ask you now. You talked about Torts, and you talked about his comments, which we have. But you talk about trying not to get too excited. Now, what about Henrik had to say? You want to talk about that? You want to play that clip? Where you want to start?
Play that, lady. Play that now. That's good.
All right. Well, in case you didn't hear it, we did have a little story about it on Blue Shirt Banner today, and we've got the clip. Henrik Lundqvist was on, that was this morning, right? He was on WFAN?
Yes, he was on FAN. Okay.
All right.
And
here's what he had to say.
Right now, September 15th, Henrik Lundqvist is here. Please tell me, and diehard Ranger fans like Boomer and everyone out there listening, will the Rangers be in the playoffs? I'm not asking you to guarantee me a Stanley Cup. There's enough talent here to be in the playoffs, yes?
Absolutely.
Will we be in the playoffs this year?
Yes, we will. We will. We'll
you
bounce.
Promise?
I promise.
Ho, ho!
He promises us.
Oh, Henrik Lundqvist. That the Rangers will be in the playoffs. Why I played the gong there, I don't know. It's just, I had nothing else. So what do you think about that? Does that get you excited? Does that
No.
Does that have you reaching for the cool, or are you still with the goofy grape?
What is he going to say? Well, you know, Carton is pressing him, you know, and you know, Carton's, you know, he's doing shtick. He's like me, does a little bit of shtick, and he's just, he plays the bad boy to Boomer's, you know, not angelic, you know, Ranger fan. And Boomer is a Ranger fan, and that's why they even have hockey on that show, because he is a Ranger fan.
Right.
Well, they have Ranger on it, you know, Ranger players on it. So, Henrik, you can't guarantee anything because, frankly, you know, Gavrik gets hurt, it's over. And seriously, I know they want to make the playoffs, but they wanted to make the playoffs last year, too. So I think he was pressed for an answer, and he gave me, yeah, what did you say, no, we're not going to make the playoffs? I mean, you know. Hey, I like to hear the confidence, but I like to hear the confidence from our captain, not the goalie. I mean, I don't want to talk the whole Chris Drury crew on it we had last week going again. Holy mackerel. I've got tweets about that Mandar and Paulie D going at it. Well, I kind of started that whole thing. So.
I got cross continental emails about it. Our good buddy Chris in the UK was loving it. I mean, Chris was telling me that he takes an extra 20, he goes 20 minutes out of his way getting home from work at night just so he can finish listening to our shows. How great is that?
That's great. That's a dedicated listener.
Gotta love Chris. He's awesome.
I like Evo. She goes to the doctor and listens to us on the iPod there and is laughing in the waiting room there. That's true. I like that.
So, all right. So in your mind, it's just that doesn't fire you up at all. It's just Hank saying what he's supposed to say, and they're next to him with the BlackBerry typing it away. Hank says we'll make the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. So that doesn't help.
That didn't fire me up. I'm glad he did it, but you know, what am I supposed to? You know.
All right. No, go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you know, again, and what is he going to say? Nah, this team stinks. If he said, yeah, if Wade Redden is in Hartford, then I'd be going crazy, which we should talk about. I mean, now that it's done and it's done with Stahl, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is no room for Wade Redden on this team.
Well,
cap-wise,
we've said it before. And I think we need to say it again. Listen to the bell, Renton. Listen to the bell. It tolls for thee, my friend. It tolls for thee. Look, you know, like we talked about off the air. All right, you can stop. Thank you. you know,
think,
where else is the money going to come from? You know, I think Larry Brooks said yesterday that they were, I don't even know what the number was, $5.9 million under the cap. So you sign Stahl, he's got a cap hit of 3.95, that leaves you $2 million.
Like four over.
Yeah, so, you know, they're two under the what they call the summer cap, if I understand this correctly. And, you know, again, I've said this a million times, I am by no means a cap expert, so if anyone knows better, by all means enlighten me. But, you know, the way I understand it, they're $2 million under the summer cap. Once the season kicks in, they're over. So where's that money going to come from? You're going to get rid of, I mean, you talk about getting rid of two or three guys at a medium salary or one big salary. Well, who's the most obvious big salary to go? It's going to be bye-bye Wade, we hope. Oh,
yeah.
What a glorious day that's going to be.
But then, Jimmy, my boy. Jimmy McLeave. Sorry. I went to a Finnegan's segment from Star Trek. You're McLeave! All right, now. But, Jimmy, if you can set up this next clip where Tortorella talks about Redden, I got a little frightened. I got a little scared.
Okay.
Because apparently Redden has come into camp in tip-top shape looking like Lou Ferrigno. That's what I'm hearing.
Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno, he's a bodybuilder there.
He's the situation.
Situation.
Wait, Redden, he's the situation. God, he's the situation, all right. A disaster.
He's a terrible situation.
The Cat 5. All right. Here is John Tortorella, his clip from MSG. This is what he had to say about Wade Redden. And I have not heard this, so I have only heard people talk about it. So here we go.
Well, Reds is a guy that, you know, my assessment, and I can tell you because I've talked to Reds about this face-to-face, it's just too deliberate in everything he does right now. His game is slowed down. Now, whether he can get the speed back up, his decision-making, his reads, his shot getting through, everything about his game, I think, is slow. And that needs to get better. And, I mean, you just put it on the thing. It's what Glenn said. I think Reds has been given a real fair chance of being put in that lineup every night. And sometimes, to be honest, didn't deserve to be in there, but was given an opportunity. And he has to earn it now. He has to earn his ice time here because I don't think we can look by young kids or other guys that may step by him. And so it's going to be done on merit. And I think I lost myself a little bit that with him last year, maybe out of respect, maybe out of the contract that stands over him. But we can't go that way. You're not going to win. And Reds understands that. He looks in great shape. And so we'll see what happens when camp comes around.
Okay. Now, we might have to play that a couple of times
just to
continue to go over it. Unfortunately, one of the things I wish Blog Talk would initiate in their switchboard is the ability to stop a clip while you're playing it and pick up where you left off. But the first thing that comes to mind, okay, is that he refers to him two or three times as Reds, okay? And in my opinion, and you've said this, only good players should get nicknames, okay? You know, Messier was Moose, and you had Gravy, and Lucky Pierre LaRouche, and you know, Kotze. Reds, no. He doesn't deserve a nickname. He's a shitbag. You want a nickname? How about that? Shitbag Reds. Wouldn't that be great? Well, you know, we talked to Shitbag at the end of the season, and he's got to – we told him he's slow. He's too deliberate.
Well, you call him Wade. I mean, right. You know, this nothing.
I need the clip from the old two-bar tape. My name is Red. Red!
When he's going, he's too deliberate with – you hear him slapping his hand, and you can see it in the video. With his passes, he's too deliberate. Come on.
Deads would be better.
My thing is, doesn't Tortorella sound like the guy that we wanted in here? But you know, as soon as the season starts, it's going to be back to the same old crapola. He's talking the talk right now, but he's unable to walk the walk so far. And I am hesitant to believe him.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what? Look, call me the eternal optimist. I'm gonna give him the opportunity to screw me again.
You're eternal
Costanza.
Bastard.
Eternal bastard.
You are.
Whatever.
I told you, the ranked the beaten wife syndrome. Oh, they love us. They love us. Yeah. They keep fucking in the bush.
It's not how he really is. You don't know him.
You don't know him like I know him. Like I do.
Deep down, they really love me. Look, you know, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, and
right,
I know.
Play it again.
One more time. Play it again.
All right,
here we go.
Shitbag.
Well, Reds is a guy that. You know, my assessment, and I can tell you because I've talked to Reds about this face-to-face,
Dead.
it's just too deliberate in everything he does right now. His game is slowed down. Now, whether he can get the speed back up, his decision-making, his reads, his shot getting through, everything about his game, I think, is slow. And that needs to get better. And, I mean, you just put it on the thing. It's what Glenn said. I think Reds has been given a real fair chance of being put in that lineup every night. And sometimes, to be honest, didn't deserve to be in there, but was given an opportunity. And he has to earn it now. He has to earn his ice time here because I don't think we can look by young kids or other guys that may step by him And so it's going to be done on merit. And I think I lost myself a little bit that with him last year, maybe out of respect, maybe out of the contract that stands over him. But we can't go that way. You're not going to win. And Reds understands that. He looks in great shape. And so we'll see what happens when camp comes around.
Now, see, right there what he said towards the end, he, like you said before, he admitted, and that's as close to it, I think that's as close to I was wrong as we've ever heard out of John Tortorella. When he said, you know, I was...
Yeah.
What was his term? I was blinded by the contract, I couldn't look past the contract or by the money or whatever.
Yeah, or I had too much respect for him. Well, I don't know where that came from, but maybe as a veteran. There was almost culpability coming out of Tort's mouth.
Yeah,
I almost heard it, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time.
Like I said, that's about as close as I was wrong as we've ever heard out of John Tortorella.
But Conte couldn't say love, right?
And he couldn't say wrong. I was right. So for right now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to look at this like he took the off season. He's done some soul searching, maybe I'm being naive. That's fine. And then I'll be the first one to get on here and say I was wrong to hitch my star to his wagon. But at least based on what he's saying, he's admitting that, you know, he went about it the wrong way, and that it's going to be different. So we'll see.
But the thing is
that I don't see any way Redden makes the team. Is that, you know, that's the other thing.
You know, like somebody posted in the chat room, Bob McKenzie tweeted today that, you know, with the cap situation being the way it is, it looks like Redden's AHL bound.
Right.
Let's hope that is true. Now, I want to, again, why did he think about this last year? Why did he wait till he missed the playoffs? Why did he only bench Redden for two games there, whatever it was, if he thought he was slow, if he was deliberate? I mean,
well,
this ain't his first year in the league, Jim.
No.
I mean, he should have made these adjustments. You know, everybody's talking about Monday night's game with the Jets and Ravens, which I won't talk about, which I just did, about adjustments. But that guy's sticking to join up. Everybody is booing the hell out of him. You know, bring somebody else up and play him. So anyway... Forts had more to say, I think, on some other subjects. What did he talk about?
Based on the clips you pulled here, talked about playing at home and played on the youth, about the young players. Let me finish the thought. He came into the situation. When did he take over? Was it February or March? Of the previous year.
Yeah, it was around February, I think. Maybe March, yeah.
So, I, like I said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for now, and we'll see how the season goes. Came into the situation late, didn't have a whole lot of time to evaluate his team. I'll give him, last season, what he's telling me, at least what he's telling me, is he's learned from his mistakes, and it's going to be different this year. So we'll see what happens. If he proves me wrong, I'll be the first to admit it. All right, let's talk. Here's what he had to say about the young players.
Young guys are going to get a long look. I think we still need to infuse our team with more young guys and build our core together. The McDonoughs, the Steppens, players like that. I'm anxious to see them play. This kid from out of Norway, Zuccarello, anxious to see him play. I'm not watching him now. I want to wait until the real stuff happens, and then we'll see where we go from there.
All right, that's a little odd. He doesn't watch any of the players till they come to his camp. He doesn't look at any tape. This kid Zuccarello. I don't think he knows if Zuccarello was his first name, his middle name, or his last name.
He doesn't know his Zuccarello from a hole in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, he might as well say mozzarella. He probably would have known to say he knows as much about mozzarella as he knows about Zuccarello. Maybe more. I find it a little bit odd that the guys that the... Ranger fans know more about and penciling in the lineup, but the coach hasn't seen any tape on him. He don't know what he is. So I found that a little bit odd. But
it is odd. I'll give you that. That is a strange thing to say. Didn't he do any kind of evaluation on this kid beforehand? Is this a kid I can work with? Is this a kid that can fit into my system?
Or his pocket?
Or my fanny pack?
What did you say? What did Gabbert bring his son down here? Who's this kid? Like, he's on the team, coach.
I'll give you that. That's a strange statement. He had to search for his name, and I haven't seen him. But you know, here's the other thing: is that he says, okay, these guys Stepan and McDonough, they're going to get a long look. But how is he going to be? There's so many players on this team. How's everybody going to get a fair shake? I mean, the glut of forwards and defensemen. I mean, every day it's another. This one's coming in for a tryout.
Garner's on these guys in so many places. They need two rinks to work out.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be, you got all these guys. Todd White and who was the guy they got from Anaheim? And Matt McClue and McDonough and Exelby. Remember they traded for him from Anaheim early in the Todd White. I don't know if
from Anaheim.
No, Todd McClue. We talked about him early in the offseason. They got him. Matt McClue. Semenov's coming back, and there's just going to be so many guys. They're going to run out of numbers. You're going to have guys wearing three numbers on the back of their jersey. Who's 107?
Zach, I don't know if you've been with us, but in the last couple of days, we got Semenov. Is it going to be challenging for a spot? Apparently, he got the okay from the wifey poo to play in New York. Well, it also happened at the KHL team he signed with, the Moscow Dynamo, who's been around for like a million years, folded, so he had no choice. Garnet Exelby is in camp. He's another D-man. You know, McDonough's going to be there. Gilroy is going to be challenging. There's going to be a lot of guys down there. They still got a lot of guys from the Wolfpack.
De La
Fleur. The Sowers, the Corey Potters, who else did you say?
De La Fleur, Mario Marawa.
Yeah, really. I mean, Mario Marawa, Andre Dory. I mean, there are a lot of guys down there that are vying for positions. So you got a tremendous amount of players. And then Torts. Oh, Corey Potter signed with the Pens? Okay, Rock is on it. Corey Potter is no longer a Ranger. Wow. How about Kondratek? How do you pronounce that guy's name?
Kondratek. Yeah, he's there. He was at the Traverse City, right?
Right. He was there, and we'll get to that. Now, Torts also talks. I feel like you're like my Fred Norris with this, but you are at the controls. He also talked about the Rangers playing at home and how important that is. Do you want to play that?
Yep, here we go.
When you're winning, it's a great building. When you're losing, it's a tough building to play in. I think we need a few more layers of skin on ourselves to handle some of the things that go on when you're losing, and there's some struggles in the game. And we've talked about that as an organization. And the coaching staff and players, that's going to be an emphasis during camp, how we get this straightened out, because you're going nowhere. If you're a 500 team at home, you're going nowhere.
I want to play that one more time real quick. Something he...
When you're winning, it's a great building. When you're losing, it's a tough building to play in. I think we need a few more layers of skin on ourselves to handle some of the things that go on when you're losing, and there's some struggles in the game. And we've talked about that as an organization. And the coaching staff and players, that's going to be an emphasis during camp, how we get this straightened out, because you're going nowhere. If you're a 500 team at home, you're going nowhere.
He's cryptic when he talks sometimes, and I always try to read between the lines on him. And, I can't help but think he's speaking of just specific players when he says they need to get a thicker skin at home.
How about himself?
He needs a thicker skin in Washington.
When he's dealing with these reporters throwing him out of the garden every practice.
That's true.
You know, That's, I mean, we talked about that as an organization. Well, I hope you got some therapy in the off season, Torch. I mean, I'm with you, with Jim. I'm starting to grow to love the guy because he's actually talking. But once the season starts, it's again going to be a total. Things don't go right, and we don't give enough praise to Torch. It's going to be Operation Shutdown with him. And he's not going to talk and not answer why the hell Marion Gabbert didn't take that damn penalty shot. I mean, a shootout shot. It's still got to be better at home. And listen, the Red defense will cheer for you, but don't put him to sleep and lose. Give him a good game. Stick up to your teammates. You lose, you'll lose. We're not going to boo you. But when you go out there and you play boring, listless hockey at home, no jump, no entertainment value, guess what? We're going to boo. 11 years of this nonsense with this moron. Glenn Sanger seems to make sense to our chat room. Sorry, Glenn, but 11 years, I think we've given you a fair chance, as Torch would put it.
I mean, really, New York fans, I think New York fans in general just want to see effort and hustle. And, a lot of nights last year, we didn't see that. And I think you're right. I think if the effort's there, and the hustle's there, and the emotion's there, we're fine with it. We can handle losing. It's, City's seen a lot of championships, but it's seen a lot of bad teams, too. In all their teams, Giants, Jets, the Mets, the Yankees, all of them. Seen a lot of bad seasons. It's not all rings and banners. We just want to see effort.
I just want to see it seems the team cares as much as the fans do about each game, It seems like we care more about the Rangers winning than they care about the Rangers winning. And I know we're fanatics. That's why they call us fans. But I know we can't win every game. But show us you want to win every game. Sometimes the goalie plays great. You lose the game. Sometimes you just have a bad eat. They play boring hockey. It's boring. My least favorite thing of following the Rangers is watching the games. That's got to change. I love talking about everything. When I got to watch that game and it's nothing after two or 1-0 after two or, like Vinny Vasilino says, the insurmountable 2-0 lead by the other team. you want to change the channel because I know it's going to happen. Who do you think that when he addresses thicker skin. What do you think he means? Do you have any clues? Players he made think we...
Dubinsky? Dubinsky's, I'll be honest with you, Dubinsky's the first one that comes to mind. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying, that's who it is. If you ask me that question, he's the first one that would come to mind.
Yeah.
And, as far as the building, to me, there's nothing worse than when the building's silent. At least when the fans are booing, at least they're booing because they care. But there's nothing worse than watching the game in the third period and there's nothing. You can hear two guys talking to each other in section 405. There's nothing worse than
right.
that. I mean, it's just, even just watching a game on TV, there's nothing worse than just, all you hear is the clack of the puck on the sticks because the crowd's not making any noise.
And then what's the top of for us people watching the game? Is that I got to hear Sam Rosen and Micheletti tell me how great the Nashville Predators are, that they're playing a perfect road game, that they have used the matchups well. This team is up and coming. They're bouncing back after a bad loss to Toronto 7-1 previous night. Instead of making the other team into this juggernaut and how they have really come to play, can we just for once put the onus on the Rangers for playing badly and even further to take it one more level or one more one more level of criticism and pick out some players who are having a bad game. Will that ever happen? No way. So I'm already looking forward to the first 10 broadcasts with John Giannone, Monotone, whatever his name is.
John Monotone?
John Monotone. When Sam's doing football for the first 10 games, that's going to be good. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
So. All right. What else?
Well,
we have one more sports clip, right?
Yeah. Listen to this one. This one's good.
This is on the young players, right?
That's
the other one? Okay. All right. Here's Torts talking about the young players. You guys on hold. We'll get to you guys in just a second, okay? Here we go.
Young guys are going to get a long look. I think we still need to infuse our team with more young.
No, we played that already.
You don't have the one with Bugard where he talks about Bugard?
Oh,
maybe not.
Hold on.
Maybe
Hold on. Well, hold on. Switchboard just flashed on me. Wait a second. Did you give it a different title, maybe? Let me scan through here really quick.
Maybe there's only two Torts ones. Maybe I left it out. I don't know. I guess I'll just say what he said. He doesn't like the weight that Bugard came in at. He was like 280. They want to get him down to about, I think, 265. And he lost some of the, he came in like 273. He lost some weight. I could already see this happening where it's going to be like, he said that he couldn't trust Brashear out there. That Dig D's got it right up there in the chat room. That he wants him in tip. I could see this coming now from a mile away. That he's not going to be in shape, and you know he's going to have a nice meal after dinner, and that'd be too heavy to play. It's going to be another disaster. It's going to be a buddy. Let just let our goon do what he wants. He's just a goon. Do you really want to play Derek Bugard? Are you out of your head, Tor? Seriously. I mean, really. I mean, you got to get Eric Bugard in shape to play? My God, the guy averaged 2 minutes of ice time last year. He better average 2 minutes as a Ranger. If I got it, we got him. We're going to put him in clutch situations. As long as he's willing to fight, that's all we need him for. The guy hasn't got a goal in 4 years. You're going to try to turn him into a hockey player? Everybody knows when you try to turn a crusher into a rusher, he soon becomes an usher. I've been waiting to say that all preseason. I mean, give it a break. Already with the nitpicking with our goon we got to work on. How much time? He's worried about his weight. But he doesn't know who Zuccarello is at all. I don't get it.
Well,
make sure our goon is in shape.
Zuccarello showed up at 122 pounds. They want to get him down to 112.
Exactly. It's lunacy. Lunacy.
Are you ready to release the hounds on some phone calls here?
Sure, release the hounds.
All right. First up, we have
Eva.
Good evening, Eva. How are you?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Not too much. I'm just calling to say hello, and who's going to the Fish Stick Ranger game on October 11th?
Yeah,
Eddie, you going?
Now, well, you know, originally, Coach had a crazy Greek through his at me. And, of course, you know, he's a total mental patient.
Come on, it's either you or Costa. Come on, I got to take four people.
Costa, he told me, they're playing on Old Country Road. I thought it was like a alumni game. I didn't even know it was a real game.
He's bullshit.
Natural
Come
ice.
On.
And, so who are the three people that are going to this visiting the mausoleum?
We're going. The Simos clan is going. I think we're meeting up with Zach. But you know how those Islander fans get. They get all crazy, so we need some backup. We need supporters.
They don't exactly like me, Eva.
They don't
like
me either. I know I'm going to get thrown out. I'm going to probably be the only one singing the Cuppy Cake song in there. It's all Jim's fault.
Well, you know what? If we get a crew, right now, Zach's a lightweight. Your husband, he's kind of got a good low center of gravity. I think he's a scrappy young man. I know
yes,
you can handle yourself.
He's got body strength, but, you know,
Eddie's doing line combinations for the game.
I need line
combinations.
I need to get down to 380 for the game, according to Tortorella.
Rock's going to the game, too.
Rock's going? Rock's good.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I'm there. I got enough heavyweights and enough protection.
Aww.
Ricky O, he's 7'3".
I've met Ricky O. Yeah, he's pretty big. He's got a birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Turning 40, the big 4-0.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, all right, I'm down for that then. Pencil me in.
All right,
who's buying
cool.
the tickets? So, are we buying them in a group or are we buying them separate? What do we...
We'll figure it out. Listen, it's the day before my birthday, so you guys got to make it.
Listen, you just call Nassau Coliseum, and you drop Blue Shirt Banner Radio and Rage of Christ's name, and you watch the doors open up for you.
Yeah, error. They're going to hang up on me.
Either that, or you can look at the penny saver. They give the tickets away for free.
don't you get unlimited tickets free with like a Slurpee or something?
No, they used to give us some kind of crappy chili or something. I don't know.
I know.
What I want to know is, Eva, are you going to go to the game? I think the cupcake needs to be represented. Maybe you could all go with shirts with cupcakes on them, or you could wear cupcake hats.
Their fans are gay, so yeah, all right.
What else? I don't know what else you could do. A cupcake. I don't know. A nice cupcake hat, or maybe somebody dressed as a package of Tasty Cakes or something.
I would like to do there? I'd like to get a fire saver chant going. Even on a road, we want him gone.
At the mausoleum?
That's about William, Fire Seder.
We got to wear our Fire Seder T-shirts, though.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You know, the one that I gave
you? Maybe we'll have some Blue Shirt Banner shirts by then.
We need some of those shirts, yeah.
I think if you're going to the Coliseum, I think you got to focus on the Islanders. I think you have to.
Cupcakes,
the fish sticks, the whole sado.
Yeah, it's the mausoleum, not the Coliseum.
I wear my Bruno Gervais jersey.
Ooh, there you go.
I'll wear my Potvin jersey. Yeah.
Freddie Meyer. Hey, John Newman's got the Potvin jerseys and all that.
No, there you go.
Has
he been invited to this soiree?
I don't know if he can come out from Jersey.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those Jersey folks. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
All right, cool. Nice.
All right, there you go.
All right, it's always wonderful. Have a good evening, guys.
You too.
Let's have a little bit of sarcasm.
No sarcasm here. Never.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night. All right. That was Eva. So, that's beautiful that we're able to get you involved in the group there, and that you'll be making your triumphant return to the worst arena in all of the world.
The world's most crappiest arena.
I don't even think
they have tickets anymore. I think you just walk in.
they're all GA.
Yeah.
Now, will you go to Nassau Coliseum in disguise? Will you wear the Bobby Valentine mustache and glasses?
Got some protection. I got Rock and Jim Cerny and
Will you maybe grow your hair a little longer and grow a beard for the occasion? Maybe tinge it blonde, or, you know.
I'm going to go there. I think I'll go there. I won't go there incognito. Maybe I'll bring Joey Pants Fortunato with me.
I'm sure Joe would go.
Yeah. And we could do the whole 1983 chant and give it to him.
There you go.
All right. You know, they just beat us, though. They always do. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they'll beat us there, and then we'll have to run out of the parking lot to our cars. way to the 500 people that are there that are actually on the fans.
And the massive traffic jam trying to get out to the Hempstead Turnpike.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, let's take another call. Here we go. 347-894. You're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. Don't worry, Eddie. I got your back.
All right.
Look at this. Look at this.
Bernie's coming, too.
I got your back. Listen,
okay,
more than half of the arena is Ranger fans anyway, so I don't even know why you're worried.
Well, you know, I'm not really worried.
I'm kidding.
Although I did receive a lot of death threats on Ranger Crisis number 50. But, they don't call me the mouse because I like to talk. I'm very loud. And I tend to repeat what really funny people who have, like, quiet voices say, and then I amplify it. So
now, let me ask you a question, Eddie. Are you more vocal at MSG, or are you more apt to be vocal at the Coliseum, or are you about the same?
I've gotten quieter over the years. I find that MSG, because the crowd is a little bit younger than I am, that they really understand a lot of my humor. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm louder at the Garden. If I've got a good crowd that's laughing at my jokes and with me, then it is to get. But see, I think you're more confrontational. You like to get in the opposing team's face.
Me?
I say things very sarcastically. Yeah. Phoenix, right? Did you have that kind of thing going?
I've had some incidents. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had a few incidents. I've had a few incidents. The other bad thing, you know, every time I've seen the Rangers in Phoenix, they lose. Every time. So, you know, I yell and scream and make a lot of noise and carry on. At the end of the game, I got my tail tucked between my legs. And the games in Florida, you know, it was kind of – nobody gives a shit down there anyway. But here in Phoenix, it's different because there's such an anti-New York sentiment amongst Phoenix fans. I mean, they just despise New York because, you know, it's just the whole East Coast, West Coast thing. So – and a lot of the things, they're not very knowledgeable. And so it's totally different to hear it in Florida. You know, I've had some incidents. A couple of Met games against the Diamondbacks. Things got ugly. There were a couple of Giant games against the Cardinals. Things got ugly. When the last time the Giants were out here, and I went to the game with my buddies, and the Cardinals were flying high. The Giants, they were undefeated, or they'd only lost one game, and the Giants came in and beat them pretty bad. And everybody out here was talking about the Cardinals maybe going to the Super Bowl, and we're riding out of the stadium, and I'm leaning out my buddy's car, sitting on the window, screaming at the fans, overrated, and they're throwing stuff, and Chris, go back to New York, you effing jerk, you fat fuck, you back there. All right, anyway, and that was my wife.
Oh, God.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so Rock. What do you have to say? You've heard the clips. You've heard what's on your mind. Give it to us and try to be a little bit. I know it's hard, but try to be a little more animated than Jim Cerny would be.
Eddie, I tell you, the Jim Cerny impersonation is classic. I was dying.
Well, I don't think
how
I can.
Hard I was laughing that night with the laptop because it's absolutely perfect. Because that's all he did. The whole interview was look at his laptop, and the way you said it was classic. So. Every time I think of that, I think of you now.
I don't think I can replicate it, so I'm not gonna. I'll have to listen back and then hone it. So what's on your mind?
I don't know. I like the Tortorella interview. I thought he was very animated. The part that I found intriguing, first off, the point you made before with looking at young players, you know. Like Jim said, I don't know where these guys are going to play. I mean, I said it last week. I said I think someone big is either going to be put on waivers, traded, or sent down to Hartford. Because I just, other than Reddit, I don't see how anyone's making this team when, as it is, they're probably at their max as far as players are at this stage anyway. So from that perspective, it's going to be a very interesting training camp, to say the least, because I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts. We're going to see a lot of moves. And I think it's going to be a really fun, you know, month leading into, you know, opening night. But the part that I found intriguing was the part where he said about the number one center. I don't know if you guys have that clip, because I thought that was fascinating, because he made it seem like, I thought when they got Todd White that that was it, that they found a center, whether it was a first-line center or a third-line center, he was the guy they brought in to fill that role. But from what he said in that interview, they're still looking. And Christensen, who I thought was going to possibly start the season with Gaborik and Frolov, he made it sound like he was a scrap heap guy. Like basically, oh, that's why we picked up Christensen, because we're weak down the center ice position. And he goes, I think it's going to be rectified. I'm not speaking verbatim, but I think it's going to be rectified, whether it's during training camp, after training camp, maybe at the trade deadline, or in the off season or next year. So either he knows something, they're still looking, or he knows something that we all don't know, that maybe they're working on something behind the scenes. So that's the part I found intriguing, that he still thinks that this team's going to go out and get a number one center.
Well, what he said about Christensen was dead on, and which was that he's good for two games, and then he's not for five. That doesn't sound like he's our number one center.
That doesn't sound like just Eric Christensen. That sounds like the whole team last year. I mean, really, that's not even a joke. I mean, that's serious. They were good for two games and bad for five.
Absolutely. You can say that about everybody on the team, except for Lundqvist. You can probably say that about everyone on the team. And then he said that Drury is going to be put in an offensive role, so Drury's going to be in second-line center?
He did say that, Jim.
Really got my mind going, because that means, like I said, someone predominant isn't going to be playing. Maybe your boy Brian Boyle might not make the team.
God, he's still with the team? Forgot about him. I completely forget about him, and then we get on the show every couple of weeks, and his name gets brought up, and I go, oh yeah, Brian Boyle.
I know, it's amazing.
I completely forget he's on the team.
You know, and it's funny, because I'm not a big video game buff, but every year for some reason I have Xbox, and I play it maybe twice a year, and I actually bought NHL 11 because I'm just dying for hockey, and I got so many guys sitting out, and so many I don't know what to do with people, because there's just so many moving parts and there's so many different guys. You don't know who to dress. You know, it's amazing how many players they have in this training camp, and then they bring in Fedotenko, they bring in Axel Bean, Semenov. I mean,
the Russian tank.
I don't know. I mean, I was surprised that they brought Semenov back, considering the way he shunned them last year.
Did he? Maybe he got divorced.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be. I mean, this looks like it's just an open can. Like, bring him. Come on down.
So
I mean, seriously.
I'm sorry.
And you know what? Let me say something really quick about what you guys were talking about with Drury. If he plays if he's on the second line, if he's going to be put in an offensive situation, that's fine. But he better produce.
No, you're right.
If he's going to play on a second line, then there's no excuse for him to score 13 goals. If he's on the second line, he's going to have some guys around him. He'll have either Prospel with him, or he'll have Frolov with him. He's going to have some guys around him, so there's going to be no excuse for 13 goals and 9 assists or whatever it was.
Well, you know, like, we'd like to talk about
I mean, if they put him on the second line, I hope to God he scores 25 goals. God.
I hope he does, too. I just want the team to win. I don't care
who scores. You're talking crazy.
I love Chris Drury.
Well, speaking about these youngsters, and I'm sure Brock has followed it, and they got done with this Traverse City tournament, and, of course, we did make the finals. But Derek Stepan went nuts. I mean, he's leading the tournament in scoring. He's unbelievable. He's playing. He's had a goal, 5 assists or something like that. And Grachev had a great tournament. McDonough had a great tournament. Bob McKenzie tweeted Darren Tang tweeted that those three guys were like the stars of the tournament, and I'm like, you know, like eight guys he picked. So those guys, I think, got to make a run at the team. So you throw them into the mix too, Rock. I mean, you know, I really think McDonough is going to get Redden's spot. That's my early prediction, because everything you've heard from the Brez, and they made him captain of that team too, which showed me a lot.
Yeah.
Stepan is a guy who was the captain of the Wisconsin team that McDonough was on, and we've all heard about his leadership, but they gave it to McDonough for that tournament. So I think that's a guy they're going to take a long, hard look at. Stepan and Grachev, he got four goals in the tournament. You know, again, I'm sticking it, you know, to my guns with this guy. He's got to play with good players. He cannot be playing with, you know, a Hartford team that's got injuries and not good. I think the guy plays up to the ability of the level of play that he plays at. If he's in the NHL and you put a couple decent players with him, I think he'll be fine. You know, he'll have an adjustment period. I just think the kid, he's got a super shot. I mean, he's got a wrist shot. It's just unbelievable. So I'd like to see him get a good shot.
And give him some time. You know, like you're saying, give him some time. I'll use your term. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater after three games and say this isn't working. If he says what he means, it means what he says. Gotta give these guys time. Give them time. Let them develop. Let the chemistry build. Let them learn what it's like to play at the NHL level. It's a faster game. It's a different game. You know, we had Jess Rubenstein on. He made a great analogy, and I wish I could remember exactly what it is, but he said, you're playing at the OHL is like 40 miles an hour, and playing in the AHL is like 60 miles an hour, and playing in the NHL is like 75 miles an hour. It was something like that. So, give them time to learn that. You know, don't just throw it all away after three games and say, oh, this isn't working, and we got to bring, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, and we got to trade for this bum or whatever, you know?
I trust that they're going to go with a veteran team to start the season. I mean, I could be dead wrong. I think they got too many guys in the contract. I mean, how many contracts are they possibly going to eat? If they send Redden down, that's fine. I mean, but you're going to start sending down guys making $2 and $3 million. You know, I don't know how good that is, having guys, veterans, floating around in your minor league system either, because then your prospects really aren't developing either. But I don't know. I mean, I would love to see, you know, I think McDonough's going to make the team. I thought initially that either Stefan or Grachia were going to make the team. But like you said, you look at this roster, and they just keep bringing in more guys. So you got to say, like, maybe we wait for the other shoe to drop. Like, something else might be in the works that, like I said, that we don't know about, because it just seems like, too many guys.
Maybe they want some depth in the AHL, too. I mean, you know, the team didn't make the playoffs last year. I know they were bit by injuries, but they always make the playoffs, Hartford, and they didn't make the playoffs. And maybe a lot of these guys are going to go in the minors, and maybe we'll see a difference from last year where you start out good, but then you start to go in a little bit slump. Guess what? You get sent down, we bring up another guy. Maybe that's going to be the case. I don't know. I have a growing concern with Ken Janander as the coach in Hartford. Just from what I heard with the dealings with Grachev, but listen, I'm going to admit it right now. I'm a Grachev fan. Boy, I like the guy. I like the Russian rifleman. I love him. And then when I hear that Janander's trying to teach him defense down there in his first year, when he should just be getting acclimated to North America and do what he does best and score, don't try to make a two-way player out of him right away. Let him get the first thing down, and then, you know, and I've heard a lot of complaints about Janander. Frankly, this guy's been with the organization too long. It's time for a change. He was the captain for 15 years. Now he's been the coach for like eight. Time to move on, Kenny G.
played in '97 in the playoff run with Messier and Gretzky. He actually played in that playoffs. That's how long ago he's been with this organization.
I mean, seriously, it's time to move on. I don't like what he's doing down there. I don't know. There's something amiss. I will have to investigate further. But,
I honestly would love to see Semenov and Axel be both make the team and maybe send Roosevelt to Hartford. That would definitely make my...
What about Anders Ericsson? Is he still on the team, too?
No, they didn't re-sign him.
They didn't re-sign him? He played badly.
He's about the only one they didn't re-sign.
Yeah, he was the only guy.
They're going to bring him in for a tryout.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, they got a lot of players here. So who knows? I guess camp will shake out, but
it's going to be exciting, boys. It's really going to be. I mean, I've always looked forward to the hockey season, but something about this training camp between all the guys that are there, and then all the prospects that are coming in, and the future looks bright with some of the young guys that are coming in. So it's going to be a really interesting training camp. And Tortorella is going to address the media tomorrow, so I'm sure he'll have some other great quotes he'll have on the show next week.
And Rock, just to end with you right here, I got sucked in. Jim's been over, been sucking in from the audio clip. But the fact that he was talking the talk and pointing to things that we know that, you know, we definitely saw in the Rangers, you know, some bad things, didn't that kind of say, oh, wait a minute, Torts is on the same page here. I like what he's saying. Did it kind of suck you into thinking, oh, well, maybe this team might be a little bit better this year?
Yeah, you know, I know I might be in the minority, and like I told you last week, I like Tortorella. I mean, I this is nothing against, again, I'm going to get criticized, I'm sure, about with Tom Rennie. I just thought he said the same thing every week, and every interview was the same, and it was very blasé and very, you know, very well articulated and very well thought out. You know, Tortorella shoots from the hip a little bit. He gets criticized for that. He doesn't take responsibility for the team failing, which, you know, like I said the last time, I don't think is totally his fault between with the veteran leadership and the Lamai guys that are on this team. You know, I like his interviews. I think he says the right thing. I'm on the bandwagon. I think he deserves another season, considering the team that was put on the ice for last season. And you know, I hope he sticks to his guns, and I hope that if Michael Roosevelt has a crappy camp and guys are beating him out, that he doesn't make the team. You know, if he's going to be that way with Redden, and, you know, Redden stinks, I'll be the first to admit it, but Redden has played in an All-Star game and has played in the Stanley Cup Final, which Michael Roosevelt has done neither. So, I mean, I just hope that it's with everybody. Obviously, Drury has a no-movement clause, so you're stuck with him. But guys that don't produce, whether they're making $500,000 or $5 million, they shouldn't make the team. If what he's saying is, if guys beat guys out, I don't care what your contract is, you're not making the team. Then I'm all for what he's saying.
Well, he said that last year, and we saw how that happened. You know, hey, it's the same thing. Mr. Magoo said the same thing. It's going to be based on merit again. And you know what? He says that every year. I mean, I think it's just a recording in his head. Just, you know, it's like that Star Trek episode, the original one, with the guy behind the glass and the objective. Yeah, that's,
you know,
what I think.
They have no choice this year because they have to cut salary. So somebody, they're gonna make an example of somebody. Somebody in camp they're gonna make an example of. We all hope it's Redden, and you know. From what it seems, they brought in two veteran guys that one of them should definitely make the team and at a very reasonable salary, and that might be their excuse. Hey, listen, this guy beat you out. He played better than you. It was between you and him, and you know what? He's making less money. You're in. And they might not word it that way, but, you know, I think this is the year that they're going to finally make an example of somebody and say, you know what?
Oh, they got to vet the waste. They have to vet these wasteoids. I mean, they got to, you know, that's what happens. You're playing bad, you're gone. You're on the bench. Why are they so afraid to bench people and send them down to the minors? You're right. You're right about Roosevelt. He stinks up the joint, gets up to a bad start again. You're not playing.
That's why they need to carry a seventh defenseman. They need to carry a seventh defenseman because if you're going to carry another rookie this year, you're going to have to expel him a little bit anyway because you saw what happened with Gilroy and Delzato last season. They played too many games.
So
if you're planning on bringing up McDonough, you need a seventh defenseman regardless. Regardless. And you need a veteran guy back there anyway.
I've been saying that since day one. You're right. You're right. The great Rock is right.
Thanks, boys.
I got to get back to my laptop, Rock.
You're right, White.
You're right, White.
All right. All right, Rock.
Great night, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Be good.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Take it easy.
I also want to just interject here, if I can. My co-producer, Jolton Joe Micheletti, also reminded me during that interview that the Rangers may be looking for a number one center come the trade deadline. So it's good to have a lot of players in camp. And so he did say they were kind of looking for a number one center, eating. I guess that's a Freudian slip, I guess. Either at the trading deadline or so they're kind of looking for that. They may make a trade. So that's all I wanted to say on that subject there.
Okay. We've got two more calls on hold. We'll get to, let's take a call. Let's bring in James. We haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
James, how are you, man?
Eddie, I'm fine, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great tonight. Drinking a Kool-Aid yet? Did you see any of those Madison Square Garden propaganda films?
Yeah, no, I can't do it this year. Like you guys were asking Rock there, you know, I can't fall into that trap again, you know. It's been going on for the past few years. We hear the same thing every year. So, you know, like I say, Torts is, you know, preaching the same thing he said last year, you know, whoever earns it's going to get it, blah, 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 and that didn't happen. I mean, yeah, of course we all hope he changes and gives it to the guy who deserves it. But the one thing I do like is that they do have a lot of guys this year in camp. I mean, I know a lot of people might not like that. I'd rather be competitive. The only thing that I keep thinking of is, you know, are these younger guys going to get enough time if there's so many guys in that training camp? You know, that's the only thing I keep thinking about.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's hard to evaluate. It's really a short amount of time, but I guess we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting. I mean, I know I like personally right off the get-go, and I don't know if you're familiar with some of the guys who are coming in here, but this Garnett Axelby, who is the absolutely who is the love of DB Maven's life. D.B. Maven is one of Garnett Axelby in this Rangers uniform for a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, can't believe he was on Atlanta, right?
I can't believe D.B.'s not here tonight. I thought he'd be in here drunk and just having a good time, telling everybody he loved them. I'm very disappointed.
Having a Garnett Axelby party. Yeah, he was on Atlanta, and then he played with Toronto last year. In Atlanta, 2 years ago, he played 59 games. He had 7 assists and 120 minutes in penalties. So this guy is a little bit rough. He's got a little bit of grit. He's 6'1", 215.
Yeah, I remember him well, man. Yeah, I remember him. And I give it a go, man. We need some tough. And he's a defenseman, right? That's what he's a defenseman.
Yeah, he's a defenseman. Yeah. We need a tough defenseman.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, my mind is like, I mean, I haven't watched no hockey in a while. I haven't really been, you know, paying attention to it too much, but I'm starting to come back around trying to remember who's who now. So, yeah, Axelby, yeah. And I remember him going after, I don't remember which Ranger it was. I remember he'd be after somebody every time we played them. I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, I like Garnett Axelby so far. He's my guy on defense that I want to see make the team.
Yeah.
Who knows what Torts wants him out of physically. You know, Torts may want him to lose 20 pounds
a
week. He's big on that, you know, Mr. Condition.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen,
yeah.
Play hockey. You don't have to be in a physical specimen to play hockey. You think Phil Esposito was a physical specimen?
Yeah.
I was eating pasta between periods. let's give it a break. But I'm down with him and, yeah, I don't blame you for not drinking the Kool-Aid. Last year I let you down. I let everybody down the primrose path, especially after that start. And
I was with you, man. I was right along with you. So, you know, you're not the only one. I was in there, and I was really high on the mics. I thought things were going great, and then all of a sudden the ceiling caved in, and they looked horrible, and they were and as you guys were talking before, I was thinking of, you know, the best word, they looked so disinterested in the game sometimes. I mean, they wouldn't wake up until they were down by, like, 3 or 4 goals. It was, you know, a big climb back. They just couldn't do it. And, you know, they looked horrible. I remember the start of the game. We knew it was going to be like 1-2 to nothing in the first, at the end of the first, every damn game. I mean, pretty much 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I just want them to be exciting. I don't care. We said at the beginning, I want them to care as much as I care about the game. They get paid to play that game. Play it like you want to win every game. Hate to lose. I hate to lose.
I hate to lose, and I hate to see them just standing around. I mean, like, you know, like years ago, we had these teams that we rooted for, and, you know, even though they didn't make it far, or they made it far and they got, you know, right at the end, they lost it. We saw them playing. You know, you want to see them play a tough game, man. You want to see them hitting. You want to see them into the game. You want to see them not get knocked around. You want to see one of your guys go down. You go back and go back at them. You want to see all these things in your team, you know. And if you lose, hey, you lose. You're not going to win every one. But when you see guys standing around and they're just like, you know, everybody's, you know, running rings around you, you know, it's like you're standing, you're sitting there watching the game, you're like, what the hell are these guys doing? They're standing around, what are they admiring, the 94 banner, the ceiling, what the hell are they doing? Especially at home, you know, it's like it bothers the hell out of me at home because, it like you say, the crowd in the last few years has just been like dead. And it's horrible. From the times we used to go back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s and stuff, even the late 80s, it was jamming in there. Now it's like a freaking cemetery.
Well, yeah. It's a cemetery because you're watching a funeral procession out there on the ice. If Avery is not causing his crap, which he didn't do last year, that gets the crowd pumped. And we still got to face, this is New York City. Teams are still coming here no matter if the Rangers are good or bad. This is where they get psyched. They get up for these games for the most part.
Absolutely.
Unless we catch a team on, you know, in their, you know, third game on four nights, or, you know, 2 games in 3 nights, then maybe we have an advantage. But a lot of times these teams are you know, they're psyched to play us. We can't afford to get 2 goals a game and think we're going to win. And, you know, the 2 goals are by Marion Gaborik. I mean,
yeah, without Gaborik, how many goals did they score last year without Gaborik, man? I mean, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Hank, I mean, I like having Biron as a backup. Hank should get some extra time off, and maybe that'll help him some towards the end. And like you said, man, I want to see these guys play.
And now I'm going
to –
I hate to interrupt you, because now – and maybe you could talk about this after I go ballistic.
Go ahead.
The chat room is now talking about Paul Mara and Derek Morris. Oh, we missed Paul Mara. Paul Mara was a nothing. He was a beard. All right? I don't mean a beard in a gay way. He was just a beard. All right, he stuck up for teammates. He was a nothing other than that. You're supposed to stick up for teammates. Paul Mara, boo-hoo, he's gone. Derek Morris, he's been with 4 teams since he left the Rangers. He's a nothing. He's supposed to be offense. They brought him in to help the power play. He stinks offensively. And he's borderline defensive. I don't know how he keeps bamboozling these teams to keep... They give him contracts. I don't understand.
They recycle them, man. They just keep recycling these guys.
Paul Mara and Peter Brucker, that love fest has got to end. You Ranger fans have to let it go. These guys were not good. They're not good.
And the proof is in the seasons that we had by finishing 7th or 8th, and also in the playoffs where we could not win, get past the first round. You know, okay, they might have had a decent season, whatever, even Zverev a couple of years ago, whatever. You know, these guys are not the guys that are going to put you over the top. These guys, like you say, they're a bunch of third-liners, fourth-liners, whatever they are. They're not going to help you out. I mean, we, you know, hopefully we can develop our own guys that are going to make it to second-line, first-line, you know, players and stuff, and hopefully they play tough. And if they're not the tough kind and they're a finesse kind or a skater, do your damn job. Skate, you know. Pass the puck. I mean, look up. Like they were saying, you know, okay, in the NHL you have much less time than you would in the AHL or whatever. Yeah, man, you know, that's what it's all about. Get up there, get that experience. Know that you have to make that quick decision. And even if, you know, you make the mistake, if a young guy makes a mistake this year, I don't care. I really don't care. Let him learn, man. If he has the talent and you believe in this kid, and you think he's going to do good, no matter who it is, let him stay in there, man. Let him take the lumps, and let him get back out there again and learn. Otherwise, these guys aren't going to learn. We're going to pass them off to somebody else. Somebody else is going to have a good young player, and we're going to be back where we started from just as usual.
By the way, speaking of Peter Puka, Ricky,
the pics in this chat room are absolutely out. I mean, they're off the rails. They're off the rails. I'm sorry to go off here, folks. Listen, this quote here, maybe, I'd rather have Mara than Redden. Okay, you got me there. Roosevelt? Not a chance. I'd rather have Roosevelt than Mara. Mara is terrible. What has he done? Do I see Bruin fans going, Paul Mara was the greatest guy in the world? Get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about if you think he's better than Roosevelt when Roosevelt's playing this game. Roosevelt, he had a bad year last year. He was capable. Paul Mara cannot play the minutes that Michael Roosevelt plays. Sorry. Get out of here.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to tell you something I did like. I like Paul Mara. I'm a little agin you here, but.
You don't like him too?
I'm going to tell you what I do like about Paul Mara, where he would have come in handy. He was very good at being paired up with the younger. Let me finish. Can't finish. Sound like Russ Perot over here. Can't finish. Paul Mara was good with the young defenseman. Who did Mark Stahl play with when he came up? Who did Mark Stahl play with when he came up? Who was his defensive partner?
Paul Mara was with the Rangers for 1 year.
Mara was good with the young players.
Girardi helped him.
Girardi.
Paul Mara, I have no idea why Ranger fans are just, they're not huggers when it comes to this guy. Let it go.
I'm not saying I hate Paul Mara. I mean, I think he's a decent player, but he's not, somebody that you can't do without. You're going to find another Paul Mara somewhere down the line if you need
next one. Next week on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Paul Mara.
Paul Mara.
And by the way, we should mention that speaking of Peter Puka, Ricky O has 300 Peter Puka pucks for sale. Boy, try saying that three times fast. Peter Puka pucks for sale. If you'd like one, please contact Ricky O at Facebook.
What are they, like a buck a piece or what?
I don't know. Ricky O was yelling at Eddie. He's like, I'm trying to sell these Puka pucks and you're bashing the guy.
Well, my
who's collecting all that Islander stuff? I forget. John Newman said he's collecting Todman and stuff. I burn it. I'll burn it in front of that damn mausoleum over there. But nobody will be there to see it, so what's the difference? Who the hell is going to see anything? Yeah, that's right, Eddie. Don't worry about going to the mausoleum. There's going to be nobody there. Do whatever the hell you want.
All right. Now, my co-producer, Jolton Joe Micheletti, has told me that Mara played for the Rangers for 3 years. So that backs up your Mark Stahl tutelage defense.
Yeah, but he must have been invisible for like two. I can only remember maybe 1.5.
Yeah, now I got 2 and change from Jolton Joe. I think his kid played there for a... I'd rather have Ward. The guy they traded him.
He just retired, didn't he?
No, I don't know. Anyway. I just think I've seen it. Oh, Paul Mara. Oh, we're in love with him. He was a great Ranger.
That's a great love scene, man.
What about Lori Korpikowski?
Oh,
yeah, another guy. They traded the picks. Come on, guess what? Lori Korpikowski is Enveleason. It was a wash. That's how bad he is. It was a wash for Enveleason.
Slowly I turn. Step by step. All right, James.
All right, guys.
Well, don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely not. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good one.
Don't get into any fights,
and don't worry about it. Right, Eddie, man, you go into that mausoleum and do whatever the hell you want. You own that place, buddy.
I will, James. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, James.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
All right.
This always sounds so much better. It sounds great coming from a guy. You go over to that mausoleum. You don't worry about a thing. You understand? You go over there. Nobody be watching you anyway. Forget about it.
And the Loon Ranger is trying to bait me with the torpedo. How do you give a sucky player a nickname? That's another thing.
Well, he missed that conversation at the beginning of the show. Like Reds, Dreds, Deads. should call the feds because he's a felon. All right. We got.
I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but I can't stand a love fest with guys that are no longer on the team. Forget about it.
Forget about it. Next week on the show, Paul Mara be here live in the studio at Eddie's studio.
9:23. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Do you want to do the roll call, and then we'll take the rest of the phone call?
Yeah,
I need to rest this.
All right, plenty of old and true.
Without further ado, here we go.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tommy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Gentlemen of the jury, welcome to the Ranger, Mr. Mouth, roll call, get together here for this Day of Our Lord, September 15th, 2010. I'm going to bring you to you live. I'm going to bring you the hardcore reality of Blue Shirt Bandit Radio. I apologize for my outbursts and getting a little bit loud with the chat room, but, you know, we're like family. We fight a lot. We make up a lot. And we don't see each other a lot because we just see each other on the internet. So here we go. Andrew XFL. He's from South Florida. His name is Andrew, I think. No, his name is Matthew, actually. Matt, I love you. Matt is a Henrik Lundqvist aficionado. He's got every piece of hockey card memorabilia concerning Henrik. And I bet you he would love to have been at the NHL store. But there are a couple people in the chat room that were there to meet Henrik today, and I'll get to them. Now, we've got Avery Rose. That's right. That's Claude. He's big, he's bawdy, he's nice and naughty. Her name is Claude, and he is not related to Moore.
Lordy,
here comes Claude. Claude is one of the all-time great, funny individual. Callie owns 24. That's right. He owns 24. Maybe one of these years he'll get 24 goals. Callahan, I love you. You're a warrior. And I want to see you improve this year. It's a crucial year in Callahan's development. He's got to put the biscuit in the basket. We love you. Callie owns 24, even though you told me to shut up. And then there's Bruce Cohen Hockey. Bruce Cohen, one of the all-time great Ranger fans, was there at the NHL store to meet and greet Henrik Lundqvist with John Newman. My condolences as far as being with John Newman. I kid it. I love you both. I especially love you, Bruce. You're a diehard Ranger fan, and you're out there. And I don't know. John Newman called you a bad Jew before. I don't know what that was all about. Coast to the Crazy Creek. He's one of the all-time whack jobs, nut, insano. He is just off the rails, off the hook, off the chain. He's just off his meds. Coast to the Crazy Greek, we love you. Cutter TML. Cutter is a fan of the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs, one of the all-time great original six franchises. They have been struggling of late, but I like their young core. And I think the Maple Leafs will be dramatically improved this year, even though the so-called experts are not with me on this. Dig deep. This man has dug deep into his pocketbooks. Into his pockets. I think he's a male. They come up with their cash to hook up with this Blue Shirt Banner Radio. The millions of dollars it takes to click on that link. He has come up with the, listen to this, fine internet Ranger radio broadcast. Dig deep. I like the name because dig deep makes me think you have to play with heart. You got to dig deep and you got to come up with that W. Dig deep, I salute you. Frosty 99, yep. Or Froze 99 as he's known in the chat room. The lover of funny bones. A chocolatey treat filled with peanut butter. Quite a delectable little bit of snackery. Spackling? Is that even a word? Frosty, I love you. Grotchev, the Russian battleship, the Russian rifleman, whatever you want to call them. Grotchev spells relief, and we need relief. And then we have the Ranger brasses in here. We got about four or five. Well, we got five guests in here. Guests, we salute you. We, you know, if you're John Rosasco or Jim Cerny or Joe Hoosie Watson, whatever you are, please. Log in and get your own name so you can be part of this Ranger roll call that we call Ranger roll call. Irish Buck 93. Hi, Lenny. Yo, Stars, Clovers, I like it too. Irish Buck 93, we love you. You're kiss me. I'm Irish. And then Yark 68, Eva, who called in earlier. Eva is building the perfect group to go to the Nassau Mausoleum and lay to waste those little pickling Islander fans by coming up with cupcake chants and songs. Jay of the Dead, Paul Mara's best friend, apparently. Jay of the Dead, one of the leaders in the Paul Mara Love Fest contingent. And then Jolton Joe Micheletti, my co-producer for the show. Every time I say something, Aaron, Jolton Joe's there to correct me, and he is a busy dude because usually I'm in error for most of the show. And then John Newman, the illustrious John Newman, who was there at the New York City NHL store, the meet and greet, got the autograph of the king. John Newman all excited about that. He was along with the aforementioned Cohen Hockey. I know they had a great time. Both those dudes are
quality.
Doesn't
he work?
Lone Ranger! Lone Ranger baiting me with the Paul Mara stuff again. Listen, Paul Mara was an okay Ranger, but let's let it go. Lone Ranger knows how to work me like I know how to work a ice cream Sunday scoop. I don't know where that was going. And then there's a great man. Man on the magnificent. He is a magician. He has can pull a rabbit out of his ass. I mean his hat. He can do anything. Last week he went into a spirited debate with Paulie D, who's got a new name for his show, which I cannot reveal, as I spoke to Paulie D at length last night. But Paulie D is working on his new show and going to unveil it. The great man down there in North Carolina keeping it real in the field, and then Phoenix Ranger. That's right. Phoenix, the home of the Coyotes. That's right.
Sorry.
Phoenix. I'm trying to think what I would like to do in Phoenix. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
We got great
strip
clubs.
What's the name of strip club?
Oh, I can name you a few. I got Bombshells right down the street. That's a good one.
Bombshells?
Oh, yeah.
Right to the point.
Oh, that's a good one.
Speaking of strip clubs and Bombshells, Quick Release is in the house. And if I thought with that Bombshells, there probably would be several Quick Releases. Quick Release, we love you. You're a guy who likes to take the shot right from the face-off circle. Goaltender's not really expecting it. And boom! Up the left-hand corner where mommy hides the goodies. Top shelf. And then we've got Ranger Dude 35, Zach. Zach will be he's going to the Islander Ranger game at the Mausoleum. Hopefully, well, not hopefully. Well, hopefully he'll burn another Islander hat like he did last year in the parking lot. And then we got Ricky O. He's going to turn 40 tomorrow. My best of wishes to Ricky O, a quality human, a quality Ranger fan, a quality dad, and a quality wise ass, which I think is most important in all of those four things. And then we have Rock 1193. This is Jim Cerny. Gordy, let me look at my laptop. Gordy, do you feel Dylan McElrath can help you immediately? And then we got the great Stan from Bayside, Stan, who I once thought was actually afraid of me on the air. Did I say that to you, Jim? I think I scare Stan because I am loud and boisterous, but Stan is a long-time listener. Stan, every time I go through Bayside, Queens, I think of you, but not in a romantic way. but more of a hockey way. And then the one and only Glenn Sather, who has come up with some very good comments in this chat room, the one and only Glenn Sather, I love your participation. You're adding some real nice comments. You're on the ball. You know your beeswax. Some guest wants a video chat with me. Holy moly. And then, holy, you know what he's from. Holy, we got the great Wazilli. Wazilli is a man of integrity. He's a man about town. He's just a goddamn man. Wazilli. That concludes the Ranger Rapid Fire Mouth roll call for today, September 15th, 2010.
Beautiful. Beautifully done, as always. All right, we got a half hour to go. The phone number to call is 646-478-4692. If you guys want to call in, get in on the fun. Let's get back to the phones. 201-370, you're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Ricky O. What's up, man?
Ricky! Hey, Rick. Hold on, buddy. Got something for you. Here we go. Happy birthday, buddy. A day early.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Eddie. How are you guys doing?
Doing good?
Well, I'm doing good. I got old... Paul Mara got me old... damped up.
I can't believe Paul Mara has taken up this much of this show.
I think people here got Paul Mara confused with Jason Strudwick.
Oh,
you know, wasn't he the darling for like 3-4 years ago? You know, wasn't he the one that everybody wanted back? And I missed Struds, and Struds would be playing every day. It's one guy every year they fall in love with.
Well, you listen, but anytime somebody shows heart for, I guess, we fall in love with. But I can see it all, you see it all over the boards and all over there.
Let's fall in love.
You know. So anyway. Jason Strudwick. Now, I want to get your take on, do you know anything about Esselby? I mean, you follow the roughhousing of the league, the tough guys. Is he somebody that you want to see make the team?
Well, I probably watched, because of Colton Orr, I probably watched about 50 Toronto Maple Leafs games last year. And Esselby is what you would call a fantastic, he's kind of that mold of the Jason Strudwick if the crowd fell in love with guys like Strudwick and Mara, they would absolutely love Exelby, but as a seventh defenseman, he cannot play. Exelby's a guy right now, in his career, he's probably a 3 or 4 out of 10 game guy. If you needed to rest a kid like a Gilroy for a night or two, if there's an injury that's a guy's going to be out a week, Exelby would be fine in small doses, but he's not a guy they'd want to play 75 to 82 games. He's still probably top 5 hitter in the league. This guy will take your head off. And coming across that blue line, he may be the best hitting defenseman left in the league other than Phaneuf. And this guy will take your head off. But he's going to take the stupid holding and hooking penalties because he's just not fast enough to keep up with the game because of the fact that there's no more holding guys up and stuff like that.
All right. Well, I can deal with that. But I think this other guy, Steve Emigy, I think this Dean Memminger guy, I don't think he's got any chance of making this team. I heard a lot of Russ Cohen, who's the beat reporter for the Flyers. I don't know how that works out, but he was telling me that he saw Memminger a lot last year, and he said he pretty much was a non-factor, which probably could make him the fourth best defenseman on this team. So,
a whole stable. We got a whole stable of non-factors last year.
So,
What it is now for me, Exelby is another guy that, like I said, I would love to see him here as a seventh guy. He's a teammate. He will defend his teammates to the hill. I mean, there's no anybody's going to get run with this guy on the ice, and he's not going to stand up for people. But the problem is, again, what is going on? What bothers me is these guys like Fedotenko and Exelby. why are these guys even going to take ice time away from Weiss and Byers, even in camp? All right, from what I heard, Fedotenko's a favorite to Tortorella. He was brought in. Tortorella and him have a relationship. He's going to help. If he doesn't make it here, he's going to help him play somewhere else in the NHL. Yeah, that's great. Let's help him hook up with the Devils or the Islanders or somebody who's going to beat us five times a year. That's great. Smart move. You're taking away from the young, inexperienced guys who playing maybe that extra 5 minutes in an exhibition game makes or breaks a kid's NHL career, and instead we're going to waste it on Ruslan Fedotenko. It's just, to me, it's what we do every year. We just overdo it with these veterans, and one of these kids isn't going to make the team.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on most things, and I've been criticized. But I'm also criticized for agreeing with you. But I definitely agree with you. I think last year in the off season, I think it was clear when they signed Prospel that they were, now if they were truly going for a youth movement, and I know they got Prospel at a good deal, it's a fantastic deal for the Rangers, and he did have a good year last year, but if they were truly going to get more, to get one of these Hartford guys in here and to go with a true youth movement, they wouldn't have signed him. You know, and I know we were scrapping to make the playoffs and we've been guaranteed the playoffs by Hank, but if the Rangers are truly, get these bums out of here. Fedotenko, Semenov, they already burned you once. What are you even inviting this guy? Like somebody said earlier, he already burned you once. Fedotenko? I mean, they need to get the Dale Weises. How would you, like you said, how would you feel if you're in Hartford and you see, you know, you're working your ass off to get on this team and then just some veteran walks into camp and's got just as much chance or even better to make it because he's got a crap.
Do you remember, well, I hope I'm not going to kill the kid's name, but wasn't it Stefan Chinesky, who was the last cut in training camp? He was supposed to be our prototypical power forward. He was 6'1". He had a great training camp. Everybody thought he made the team. And Smuckler cut him and put him down in Hartford. And his first game in Hartford, he blew out his knee. He never played pro hockey again. Do you know why he was cut? Brett freaking Fedek. That's why he was cut. Do you remember Brett Fedek? Yeah.
One of the great.
Yeah, because Smuckler wanted to have a veteran presence in his opening night lineup. He cut the kid who had the better training camp and who had the better hustle and everything else because he wanted to see an NHL presence in the lineup. The kid went to Hartford. He got hit in the knee in a fight. He got taken down. The guy actually grabbed his leg and took him down like Mick Fakoda used to do. He blew out his knee. He never played pro hockey again. And the kid was destined to have a fantastic NHL career. And that only happened because the Rangers brought in a veteran schmuck who had a ton of NHL ice time and just didn't have any reason to be in that camp. And that cost the Rangers a player that could have been Dubinsky 10 years ago. And this is what makes me nervous is because these guys go and they work their ass off and they get sent to Hartford or they get cut and they don't deserve to be cut and then they go down with a negative attitude and they're going to sulk. And that's what bothers me. And a guy like Weiss, he's got nothing left to prove in Hartford and he's not going to get a fair shot.
Yeah. And he should be the first one to get a shot. He's paid his dues. He's the first one. And it goes back to what I've been saying all along, and Jim agree and all agree. There's a serious disconnect from the Rangers, Hartford affiliate, and them. I mean, there's a disconnect just with the Rangers themselves inside. But with their minors, they don't seem to have any confidence in the guys on the Wolfpack. I don't know why that is. I guess the only players Torts sees any tape of or sees is the ones he sees at camp. He doesn't look at any tape of anybody. So apparently he doesn't know anything. And he doesn't trust Schoenfeld. Isn't Schoenfeld the general manager down there in Hartford? He doesn't trust his. He seems to be up at Madison Square Garden more than he's at Hartford. And Kenny G, I'm done with him. Ken Janez, I don't want to go fire everybody, but. I'm done with Kenny G and that whole song and dance. I mean, how long are you going to deal with mediocrity? I mean, come on. But you're right. We need to deal, get more people up here and not just, I mean, really, it's like an open tryout. It really is. We keep adding guys by the freaking day.
It's like an expansion team.
It is.
It really is. Just throwing bologna at a wall and hoping something sticks. I mean, for lack of not swearing. But
I like that.
What's next? Bologna. Jody Hall? Is Jody Hall going to come back to kill penalties? I mean, it's amazing.
Jody Hall was involved in one of the worst quotes I've ever seen. When Ron Lowe said, we're looking at Jody Hall to pick it up. No, I think it was, it might have been Nielsen said that. We're looking for Jody Hall to step it up on the power play. Like, what? Jody Hall, he's not even a scorer. That's like asking Jan Eriksson or Sergei Nemchuk at least score. But a Jan Eriksson or, it's like asking Chris Drury to score. But, I'm getting back to Jeremy. Is this Frosty's birthday or something? Is something going on with him?
I believe his birthday is coming.
Ah. All right. Well,
I think he just said his goodbye.
We didn't mention his birthday.
Oh, I missed
that. You don't want to insult those Italians. They'll come and freaking cut your throats.
Exactly. Ricky, while we got you on the line, we want to mention again that November 26th, we're all getting together at the Point and it's called the Point and Still, right? Do I have that? Am I saying that right?
You're absolutely saying it right.
Okay, the Point and Still in Hackensack, New Jersey. We're gonna be there to we're gonna do a live radio show right there on the premises, and then we'll all sit around and watch the Rangers take on the Panthers. It's the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. So we hope you guys will all come out and see us there because I think we're gonna have a lot of fun. And I know Ricky's going to be there, and the Seamoses are going to be there, and I'm sure Newman's going to be there, and who knows? I think we'll have a good crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun. You've been to this bar. You've done a lot of events there, Ricky. Why don't you just give everybody a quick idea what the place is like?
It's a traditional Irish-American restaurant. We have a big two or three private rooms, all kinds of beer on tap. There's about 25 60-inch TVs up around the place. There's plenty of places if you want to watch the game in a group or if you want to be over by the bar and watch it by yourself. Fantastic food. I mean, I didn't get this small without eating. I'm working on a couple nice surprises for the event. I've got phone calls and emails and some letters out to former players trying to get some people to come down and support the show. And it's just a lot of fun. And the address is 774 Main Street, Hackensack, in case anybody wants to MapQuest it or put it in the GPS. It's 774 Main Street, Hackensack.
There you go. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Frosty's going to be there. No, we're not flying Emil in for the occasion, Frosty. Sorry.
Yeah, because somebody's going to have a room with him. He'll stay in a hotel. He can't come by himself.
He's going to stay at Frosty's house.
Yes, Frosty's going to have you and your wife to entertain Emil.
So anyway, we hope you guys will come out. We're going to be there. Like I said, we'll start the show at 5:00. We'll do our normal 2 hours, and then the game's at 7:30. So we're going to hang out, I'm looking forward to meeting everybody. And my wife's going to be there. My daughter's going to be there. I'm going to try and get my family to come as well, so they can see this insanity that takes up a better part of my life.
I was thinking about it. I might ask. You think we should ask Andrew Gross or Rick Carpinello to stop by? I mean, they're Jersey Petes.
If the issue, we could ask if they're not traveling with the team. I'd like to ask. I want to ask Adam Rader if he'll come. He lives in Jersey, doesn't he?
Connecticut.
Have Adam bring some books down.
And
do a little book signing while we're there too. And Eddie, Mount, bring out some classic footage because with the TVs during the show, we can have some classic games cranking.
There you go. Ricky's thinking. See, Ricky's thinking. Anyway, make sure you got it marked down on your calendar. It's November 26th. It's a Friday. We're going to start the festivities about 5:00, and then the Rangers, the Panthers, their game is at 7:30. The Rangers are down in Florida that night, so we hope to see you guys there. Ricky, we're going to take some other calls. All the best tomorrow, my friend, and welcome to the 40 Club. I just joined myself. It ain't so bad.
It's not that bad. One last thing. Have you watched the Swamp People TV show?
No, I've seen the commercials for it, but I have not watched it.
You got to get footage of the main character screaming, shoot it, shoot it. It would go perfect for all these nuts in the chat room who scream constantly at games on the power play, shoot. This would be perfect to play at the Garden.
All right, I'll have to see if I can find that. All right, thanks, Ricky.
Good night, guys.
Take care,
have a great
bro.
Day tomorrow.
See you Saturday.
All right.
See you Saturday.
Thank you.
Are you making an appearance on Saturday?
Yeah. You know, him and his wife were nice enough to invite me to the birthday celebration, and I'm going to go down.
Oh,
I'm
very
be
nice.
In Jersey.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
With the hoi polloi.
Yeah, well, you know what? With me and my wife, if you invite us, we will come. That's what
all
we
right.
always tell our friends. You know, you invite us. We're not one of these people, hey, they may show up, they may not. No, we go.
All right, maybe well, so- you and your wife are officially invited to my house for Christmas.
Really?
Sure.
I got to find out. What about my real relatives? I got to, like, tell them I'm not. I got to go visit my partner in internet radio.
You could see your – well, okay, here's what you do. You see the –
You're going to bet?
No, well, you see the – well, we'll see if it's in the budget. You see your family on Christmas Eve. You fly out first thing Christmas morning with the time difference. You get out here. It won't even be lunchtime yet. We'll have nice Christmas dinner. It'll be nice. Come on out. We got a place for you to sleep. Come on out. We'll do a Christmas spectacular. We'll have the Rockettes and everything.
Oh, you got a place to sleep. That's a big thing with me.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
I don't sleep
you know,
on
I
floors.
Like...
I could do couches. I don't care about that, but don't tell me, oh, I got a piece of floor you can sleep on. I'm 40 years old. My days of sleeping on the floor are long, long gone.
if I get on the floor, I may not get up. I need to have something. So it's crazy. Now, what is this? Two lunches for Eddie. What does that mean? I don't know. Who knows what's going on? Anyway.
Anyway,
so,
all right.
What the hell we have left? We have 15 minutes left. Do we have anything to talk about?
We got calls.
All right. Bring them on.
All right. 201-248, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Jim.
What?
How are you?
Oh, Newman, how are you?
I'm fine, Jim. How are you, Eddie?
I'm doing good, John. How'd the Henrik thing go?
Henrik was wonderful. He was being rushed out of the NHL store as soon as Bruce and I walked in.
You seem to have that effect on people.
But I still got his autograph. That's all that matters.
That's good.
Did
you get him to come on the show?
I tried.
John, was he answering questions or something in there? Do you know what went on while he was in it?
Well, Bruce and I were having lunch a block over. At 12 o'clock, right when he was supposed to be there. I went into the NHL store around 11:30 before I met Bruce. He had already walked in previously. He was there before at 11:15. He was upstairs with Detmer or whoever he was, the bigwigs upstairs. And he was supposed to be there from 12 to 1. He was only there from approximately 12 to, let's say, 12:45. They rushed him out of there so fast it wasn't even funny.
Really?
Now, were there a lot of people there?
About 30 or 40 people.
That's it?
It's the school day for the kids.
So what?
Maybe 50.
Well,
the most.
It's the summer. It's football season. People really aren't into hockey right now.
Yeah, but
there were a lot. Well, it wasn't very publicized. I publicized it. The NHL store publicized it. NHL.com publicized it. It was all over the place.
Now I want to kind of set the tone for the scene for us a little bit. Who did he have with him? Who was rushing him out of the building? I guess is what I'm trying to.
The five people the NYPD blew.
Oh, okay.
The NYPD was ushering him out of there. But I asked one of the other fans who was there because they were asked. The fans actually asked questions. He was answering them. The one fan asked. So you're on a 2-on-1. You have one defenseman back. Who do you want that defenseman to be? Henrik basically didn't he really answer it because he didn't want to step on any toes.
Now, Ricky is saying that they said there would be no pictures or autographs. Is that true?
There were autographs and there were pictures.
Okay.
He wasn't. Let's put it this way: you had to basically be in his line of sight, like I was, like a little sneak. And get his autograph, because he was getting rushed, and people were taking pictures with him. He wasn't looking up. He was looking down and trying to get the hell out of the store as soon as possible.
See, I don't know. That bugs me.
He did a, today was media day for him, so he had to be places. And it was only supposed to be question and answer. It was not supposed to be an autograph or a picture signing, so.
Correct.
I give him a little leeway, Jim, on that.
Okay.
He had to be places. I mean,
correct.
He's been,
he should
he's
be on his show.
Yeah, he's on his show, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's not. He won't even answer the questions Carlton is asking him. And how could he not answer that question?
Because,
I mean, seriously, I mean, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings by saying I think one defenseman's better than the other.
Well, let's put it this way: while he was there, it was the quote unquote witching hour with Sather and Staal. Staal had just gotten signed when Henrik was there, so he had no idea until a fan said Staal just signed with the Rangers. It was a big uproar, from what I heard.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So what was the demographic of the people there? The older, younger?
There were a lot of people my age, Bruce's age, all over the place. Men, women, children, deer, bears, I don't know. Fish sticks, I don't care.
There were Islander fans there?
There were a couple, probably, I'm assuming. I wouldn't put it past me. The one guy who worked at the NHL store, I don't know if Bruce is still in the chat room. The one guy at the NHL store was wearing a Devil's shirt.
Yeah. A Devil's shirt? Same thing
at The Rock. One guy wearing a Devil's shirt.
He was working for the NHL store. I guess he had a, he's wearing a Devil's shirt. I don't know why.
John, I want to ask you something. Have you been drinking tonight?
I had a good old Kool-Aid. Yes, I did.
Right,
what was in that Kool-Aid? Vodka?
Yeah, Kool-Aid and vodka. It's a good drink.
Okay.
All right.
Are you hanging out with the future Mrs. Newman?
I am not hanging out with the future Mrs. Newman. I was. That's why I missed the first half of the show. The first half hour, 45 minutes of the show.
Okay. All right. Well.
And by the way, to go back to your previous caller, if you want to take to get the Troy and Steele on the 26th from the Port Authority, you could take the 165 to Hackensack.
There you go. Take the
165
to Hackensack.
Plus, there's going to be a parking lot in the back, and I'm going to say this now. Every time the Rangers are on the power play, we take shots for every time they don't take a shot. They pass it along. We take a shot. Because that's all we do in the power play is pass.
That sounds boring.
No, it doesn't. It's really fun. And by the way, for all the Ranger brass guests in the chat room,
whoever. Let's talk about Bob out of your mind.
Well, one more thing. One more thing. I'm not going to go to school. Eddie, one more thing for the Ranger brass that might be listening in the chat room. Yes, I will be sneaking liquor, hard liquor, and my own bottle of stuff into the garden like I have been for the past 3 years. You can't stop me. I hide it everywhere and any place.
You can't stop Newman. You can only help to contain him.
You can't
right,
even contain me. You can only do that.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, go back to your bottle, and we'll talk to you next week. John, we love you. You're our main
love
dude.
You. All right, buddy. I'll see you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, Eddie.
Take care. You know, Loon Range is on fire tonight. Loon Range is on fire tonight in chat room. He's going nuts.
Newman went to Chili's
to get bombed.
To be like, I don't remember. I know I've asked this, but I don't remember the answer. Do you watch The Office?
A little bit, yeah.
You ever see when they go to Chili's for the award show to give out the Dundies and they're just all making fools of themselves?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We got just about 6 minutes to go, so we will bring in Mandar for parting thoughts. Mandar, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. How is everybody?
Doing well. You've been rather tame in the chat room this evening.
Well, you know, the Traverse City tournament is over now. We came in a nice fifth. That's nice. The season's ready to start. Everybody's excited. Everybody is all excited. Did you hear about the new rule the NHL passed today, too?
Was it something to do with the shootout?
Yeah, no, what? Well, kind of in a way. What they did is they've now decided that if you're tied at the end of the season in points like the Rangers and the Flyers were, if you have the same exact record like the Rangers and the Flyers did, then the first tiebreaker is not head-to-head anymore. It's taking out your shootout win-loss record.
Ugh. What?
So they're kind of in an attempt to not have a shootout basically decide a season like they did. So they do it after the fact, which is, that typical way the NHL does things.
This is from the New York Times from Jeff Klein. I'll read this real quick. The NHL took a small step away from the importance of shootouts by changing a rule governing tiebreakers in the standings. The Board of Governors approved a rule revision that would use a team's total number of victories in regulation and overtime, but exclude shootout wins to break ties among teams with the same number of points at the conclusion of a season. Teams will continue to get 2 points in the standings for shootout victories. The NHL had accorded shootout wins equal status with regulation and overtime victories since the league started shootouts in 05-06. If the new tie-breaking rule had been in place in 08-09, the Florida Panthers would have made the playoffs instead of the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I can understand that. The Rangers still – Zach's asking if they would have made the playoffs last year. No, they wouldn't have, right? Then the Flyers win the head-to-head? The Rangers wouldn't have made the playoffs. I don't think they had as many –
Rangers had a bad shootout record last year.
Yeah. So.
The thing is that now what I don't understand with the NHL is that they're going to go ahead and do this in kind of a reactionary thing. But there you go again. You're now devaluing wins. If you're going to give a shootout win the same as a regular win in the standings, but then you're going to devalue it when it comes to breaking ties. A win isn't necessarily a win isn't necessarily a win. They just stutter all over this garbage. Either you make it worth what a win should be worth because you won the game, or you take the damn thing out where it shouldn't be in there in the first place. It's just such a stupid thing.
It just kind of convolutes the situation a little more.
Instead of
simplifying it, right?
Right. So you know what? In December, I get my shootout win, but that shootout win in December might not be worth the same amount at the end of the season if I'm tied with somebody.
Right.
It makes no sense. Idiots.
Get rid of the skills competition all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Play until somebody wins. Why is that so hard for them to do? Play until somebody wins.
Gimmick. I don't want gimmick.
That's what it is.
They don't gimmick.
A baseball game can go 18 innings, so a hockey game could go to 2 overtimes. Most hockey overtimes are going to be decided within the first 10 minutes. But they're so short-sighted. I gotta have a skills competition.
Did you see that one rule they talked about where you would play a certain amount of time at 4-on-4, then drop it to 3-on-3, then drop it to 2-on-2? To me, that was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I mean, just could you imagine just putting 2 guys on the ice to cover all that? It just seemed ridiculous.
It's insane. You know what, too? If you think about it, you're deeming these rules fine for regular season, but when it comes to the playoffs, no, we're going to play real hockey in the playoffs. But in order to qualify for the playoffs, you got to have a skills competition. So, it's the only sport where they have a different rule for how you win a game in a regular season versus a playoff. It's so dumb.
It is. Oh, I agree.
Just like Mario Lemieux said, the only thing I like that Mario Lemieux ever did, it's a garage league.
Exactly. They just make it up as they go along. But anyway, so that was my 2 cents for the last few minutes of the show. I just didn't know if everybody was aware of that.
I just saw a headline briefly, something that said NHL shootout, so I didn't know what it was. So I'm glad you bring it up. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't know.
But isn't it interesting now that you know that your shootouts during the year that will actually happen, now you have no idea what's that really going to be worth. So is it better now to try to win it in regulation? It should have always been that way in the first place.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. We got just about 30 seconds to go. We want to thank all you guys for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, and we will see you all next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And if you guys aren't doing anything Friday night, I think we'll
be going to have somebody live reporting from camp next week.
Oh, we are?
Treff.
Oh, Leslie Treff. Okay, we're going to be joined by Leslie Treff again. Okay. She's always interesting to talk to. So I hope you guys will join us next Wednesday night. And we'll see you then. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night. All right, we are off the air. So
okay. Another one in the books.
Another one in the books. I don't know. Training camp starts, what?
Friday?
Okay, so yeah, 17th. When's the first preseason game?
I think a week later. They're playing Jersey at the Garden. I thought it was like the 24th or sometime around there. Sometime the following weekend. They play Jersey back-to-back, Detroit back-to-back, and Ottawa back-to-back. That's the six games they got.
Okay.
All right, boys and girls. I'll catch you on the rebound.
First preseason game is the 23rd, next Thursday. Okay, good night, guys.
Take care, guys.
Good night.
Take care.